church doesn't seem to depend on my scholarly work. As far as I can tell, it's gone along just fine for 2,000 years.
Right?
So.
But Greek Club is in Hebrews 13. Woohoo! The term is coming to a close, and believe it or not, we are going to try to finish all of chapter 13 in two sessions. So we will get started. And let's do it. It's a kind of short sentences, exhortation, look up vocab kind of time. But we finished chapter 12 last week, and so we'll just pick up in chapter 13, verse 1. And I guess I could read just verse 1, which is three words. Hey, phil adelphia meneto. This is an imperative, meneto, from meno, present imperative, active, third singular, see the toe ending. And the typical English translation is let the subject do something, right? But it doesn't mean allow. I mean, sometimes in English translation, it's like you're saying allow something to happen, but it's actually an imperative, and so the writer to the Hebrews is in essence saying, I command that, or I urge that brotherly love remain or continue, right? But we don't have third-person imperatives in English, and so we have to use that somewhat archaic. And the only example that I know of is let the games begin, right? Which is actually a command to games. So that's verse 1. Easy enough. And so we'll go right on into verse 2, unless there's any questions about third-person imperatives or the meaning of life. Okay, seeing neither one. Now, you have some interesting thing here in verse 2. So we have tes philoxeneas me epilanthanesta diatautes gar elathan tenes xenisantes angelus. Now, we have an idiom here which has to be explained at least a little bit. Two verbs. The first verb is epilanthanesta. This is from epilanthanomai, which means to neglect or forget. And this is just it's a middle deponent verb in our literature. So it's me plus the present imperative, right? Epilanthanesta. It could be an indicative, but me actually tells you that it is imperative, because if it were indicative, we'd expect what negative? Ooh, or ook, right. So, y'all, plural, don't neglect, and this verb takes a genitive direct object. So, the first two words, tes philoxeneas, which means hospitality, or literally, love of what is strange. So, don't neglect hospitality. I actually read the little article in this dictionary of New Testament backgrounds, which there are these InterVarsity has these four volumes, dictionary of Jesus and the Gospels, dictionary of Paul and his letters, very helpful resources. And so there was a nice article on hospitality and the place that it plays in the ancient world and in Christianity. It's an important virtue as well. So do not neglect hospitality. Now, this is interesting. Through this, and tautes is a feminine singular, so hospitality is the antecedent of that demonstrative pronoun. Now, the main verb, strictly speaking, is elathon. This is from lanthano, which means to overlook or something like that. And then you have a participle from xenidzo, which means to show hospitality or to entertain. So if you translate it the way you would normally expect, you'd take the main verb as overlook or remain. I guess it can also mean escape notice. For through this, certain people escaped notice entertaining angels. But this is actually an idiom. I had to look this up in the big lexicon. Liddell and Scott, lanthano will often take a participle, as here, and when it does, you translate the participle as the main verb. And lanthano functions as an adverb, meaning hiddenly or secretly or, as it's typically translated here, unawares. And so this is why, I mean, this verse lives in my memory somewhere. For through this, certain people entertained angels unawares. I think that may be the King James or the RSV or something like that. But that explains why that translation exists, because this particular verb, when it's patterned with a participle, the participle actually carries the main force of the verbal action, and the indicative of lanthano here is translated as an adverb. It's just an idiom. One of the grammars called this classical usage, so I felt better about that. So, for no particular reason. So, verse 2 again, do not neglect hospitality, for through this certain people entertained angels unawares, or without knowing that they were doing it. And the reference here, I suppose, is probably to the story of, maybe it's to the story of Abraham and the three men who come to him, you know, before the overthrow of Sodom and Gomorrah. You can see Genesis 18 as a side reference there. Okay, questions? Anything about verse 2? All right, verse 3. We have a bunch of words for remember in this context. Verse 3, mimneskestha ton desmeon hos sun de demenoi ton kakoumenon hos kai autoi antas en somate. So the first verb is from mimneskemai, deponent again, it's just another imperative, remember. And mimneskemai takes another verb takes a genitive object. So remember the adesmios as a prisoner. Remember the prisoners as fellow having been imprisoned people. Right? So sun de menoi. And now we repeat another genitive. Remember the being kakukeod. Kakukeo means to mistreat or abuse. So repeat the verb, remember those who are being mistreated, as also yourselves being in body. That's the wooden translation. 2 points here. This construction, hos plus the participle, can have a causal force because it can also have a slightly different nuance of expressing the attitude of the participle's referent, when you have host plus the participle. So you could actually translate this as understanding or as with the conviction of you, the antecedent or the referent of the participle has to be the you of the main verb, because untes is masculine plural nominative, and autoi is intensifying, as also you yourselves being in body. Now, what does that mean, in body? Now, because we know St. Paul, what do we think of right away? In the body of Christ, right. Yeah, the problem is the writer to the Hebrews never uses soma with that meaning, ever. I looked it up. So some of the commentators actually suggest that it has a kind of an ordinary meaning of their bodies are getting beat up. Remember that you have a body too. But that seemed awfully trite to me. So, to be honest, I don't know how we should take this other than it's easy to translate, but I'm not sure what it refers to. Will?
What if you translated the host as if and then said that it was elliptical, it's missing the abused. Remember the ones who are abused as if you yourselves are being abused in your body.
Right. Yeah, the problem is that we do actually have a verbal form with the hos. See, it's not, and that's the untes. See, what you're suggesting is that what has been elided is some sort of a form of kakukeo, right? Yeah.
Because then it could be paraphrastic. Just like this.
Right. That's what it would have to be. As if you yourselves were being abused in the body, right? Well, as you know, in Greek, anything is possible. And that would make the phrase in body a little more comprehensible, wouldn't it? So I suppose maybe we ought to close that window, Will? Yeah. Yeah, it's springtime here at Concordia Seminary, and so once again, the grounds crew has planted a tracking device on me so that whatever room I'm in, they immediately drive to the window outside that room, and they start mowing the lawn. That's right. I don't take it personal. It's been happening ever since. I do, yeah, right. But I'm taller than most and older than most, so I think, right, there's a funny story about elementary Greek that would take too long to tell and wouldn't have anything to do with the Greek club. Yeah, so Will is suggesting that that would make, and it would make better sense of in body, you were being mistreated in body, right? Some people, of course, want to just take this and say, well, okay, granted that the writer to the Hebrews never refers to the church as the soma Christou, the body of Christ, but that makes sense that that's why we would remember those who are prisoners, presumably fellow Christians, right? Because we are with them in the body. So, again, it's just a little awkward, and it's not quite clear what the writer is saying. So, but heck, we feel that way about Greek a lot, don't we? Right? What is he saying? So. Okay, anything else on verse 3? So there's several different ways to take that. And again, hos is quite flexible. You know, when you learn elementary Greek, you just learn it as or like. But there's a lot of different things that hos can do. What?
If even that much.
If even that much, yeah, that's right. That's right. Once again, an honest man here at Greek Club, right? Hos can introduce indirect discourse. It can be the equivalent of huti. So there's all kinds of things it can do. It can mean when. So yeah, it's a happy word. It likes to confuse English speakers, right? Or Latvian speakers for that matter, right? Guntars, yeah. Okay, verse 4. More short. This is a kind of short, punchy exhortation. And now we don't even have any verbs. Well, I guess we get one at the end. Verse 4. Timaos hagamas. En pasin kai he koite amiantas pornusgar kai moikus krine hathaas. So we have timias is honored or honorable. It's an adjective in predicate position in relation to hagamas. So hagamas is marriage ceremony, or it can just mean marriage. And so we just supply a form of the verb to be, and since we're exhorting here, we'll make it an imperative. Let marriage be honorable or honored among everyone, and pasin could be masculine plural dative, or it could be neuter, right? Or in every way, right? So let marriage be honorable in every way, and... Now another noun, a koite is a bed, right? And this is in context is often translated the marriage bed. No verb, adjective in predicate position. So once again, the linking verb. And let the bed be amiantas, unstained. Okay? Now here's your morphology trivia for the day. It doesn't make any difference whatsoever. But if you look at amiantas, that looks like a masculine singular nominative ending, os, right? But the noun in which it's in predicate position is feminine, he koite, right? But this is an example of a two-termination adjective. That is, the masculine and feminine forms are the same. And this is actually the case with every adjective that begins with an alpha privative. If you have an alpha, where, as you know, that's the way the Greek has of negating. So, amiantas, the masculine and feminine forms are the same. So this would actually parse as feminine singular nominative. And you only know that because you looked it up and you knew that you could remember it for like 40 minutes. And since the clock of my short-term memory is running out, we'll just move on. Right? So let marriage be honored in every way or among all people, and let the marriage bed be unstained or undefiled. Why? Because And now we have a nice sentence with a subject and a verb and everything. For, at the end, God, krine. The circumflex is telling us in our modern editions that this is a future indicative active. If it were krine, then it would be present indicative active. God will judge pornuses and moikuses. The old-fashioned word is fornicators, right? And adulterers, right? Right. So, you know, when my kids were little and we'd be watching some movie or a TV show, and you know, it's almost omnipresent that people are having sex that they're not married with people they're not married to, you know. So I'd walk through the room sometimes and I'd just yell. I'd go, "They're not supposed to be doing that." Or, "That's called fornication." And then you would hear the sound of mucus, their eyeballs rolling in the back of their heads, you know, when their father was being a jerk, right? So, but at least I was being a pious jerk, right? So, short clauses, easy enough. Questions on verse 4? Anything? Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good. Some of the vocab sticks. That's right. That's right. All right. Okay, verse 5. Here's another alpha primitive adjective, although this one happens to be a masculine form. A philargyros hatrapas arkumenoi tois parousin autoskar ereken umese ano ud umese enkatalipo. We'll get verse 6 too. Hosta tharuntas hemas legain kyrios emoi boithas kai u pho bethesamai te poiesimoi anthropas. So back at the beginning of verse 5, another verbless clause. Atropos is a way or manner of existence or a manner of life. So, let the manner of life, supply the linking verb, be apart from the love of money, non-covetous or something like this. You can see phil is from philo, to love, and argyrion, you remember, is silver. Right, so this is a phil argyrion, right? It's like German, where you just keep slamming words together to make. You know what my favorite German word is? Nichtraucherabteil, which means non-smoking compartment in German, and it's one word. So. Yeah. Vergegen. That's right. That's right. Vergegen Bartugung. Okay. So let the manner of life be free from the love of money. Now, arkumenoi, as you can see, is from arkeo, which means to be sufficient. In the passive, it means to be content. So being content, and you take the dative, with, now this is a participle, tois parousin is from par eime, which means to be present. So with the article, it means the being present stuff, and it comes to mean the stuff you have, possessions. Okay? So, let the manner of life be free from the love of money, and maybe causal here, because you are content, or maybe by being content with what you have, with your possessions. And why would you want to do that? For... He himself, autos, ereken is from Lego, don't slit your wrist. He himself has said, perfect indicative active, third singular. He himself has said, and the saying is still valid, ume se. Okay, now, you're looking at ano, and you're going, man, I don't know what that is. But when you see ume, what are you going to expect? Ume plus what? Aorist subjunctive, right? Anybody know what this is from? Ano? This is from an eime. Okay? This is actually the aorist subjunctive from an eime. Yeah. Now, by the way, and I think does Dr. Veltz actually say this? I think he does say this in his not so fundamental Greek grammar, that if you can remember the principal parts of tithemia, you can do well with the principal parts of hi'eme. Because the tith patterns the way the hi does in that stem. So, and I know all of you know this, the aorist subjunctive active first person singular of tithime would be tho. You just take the theta off and you get o. Yeah, exactly. Now, I know all of you know that, and so we don't need to belabor the obvious. So what we have is ume plus the aorist subjunctive. And ane'eme means to abandon or neglect or forsake, right? It's kind of a synonym for the next verb. So I will never leave or desert you, ude, nor will I ever enkatalepo. This is, again, the aorist subjunctive from, and this is, by the way, this is actually the verb in the cry of dereliction from the cross. My God, why have you forsaken me? Same verb. So I will never leave you, nor I will never, no way, forsake you. With the result, and now verse 6 is a result clause. Remember that hosta, expressing result, will often take an infinitive. So hosta plus the infinitive expresses result. With the result that we to say, being confident. That would be a wooden translation. Tharuntas is from thareo. It means to be confident. And it's a masculine plural accusative because its referent is the accusative case subject of the infinitive, hemas. Right? With the result that because we are confident, we say. That's how you translate that. And what would we say? We'd say the words of Psalm 117, verse 6 in the Septuagint. That's what we'd say. The Lord to me a helper, literally. And I will not be afraid. Ou phabethesamai. What will a person do to me? What, I think it's often translated, what can man do to me? Okay, so the exhortation to an existence that is free from the love of money is grounded in what God has said, which is obvious grammatically, but theologically and experientially, it's actually important, right? That is, why can I live my life free from greed and covetousness? Because of what God has promised, that's why. So, and what he's promised me is my best life now, right? And all the possessions I could want, just name it and claim it, right? So, or as Janis Joplin sang long ago, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all drive Porsches. I must make amends." And we got one other old guy here. Okay, verse 7. Oh, any questions on 5 and 6? Questions? Yeah, Will and then Ben. Mm-hmm.
And we're kind of struggling a little bit to determine the exact course.
Okay.
Now, I'm
yep.
wondering if it's just the relationship, how to translate participles sometimes when there doesn't seem to be yeah. an exact force. I mean,
yeah.
is it good to weasel it sometimes, like we're taught not to? Or
yes. Yeah. Well, at the very least, it's good to indicate that you're not certain.
Right.
You know. And I didn't actually mention here that we don't. Strictly speaking, we don't have a referent for the participle, right? Because the participle is masculine plural nominative, so it's kind of like the you of your manner of life. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I this is a good question, Will. I mean, and you can't always be certain as to what the particular adverbial force of a predicate position participle is. So I think it's always good to give it a shot, you know. But if you're not sure, just put a little note or something, especially like if you were to take a graduate level Greek exam sometime. Yeah, right. Yeah, good. Yeah, it is. Yeah. More information is better than less. Yeah. Ben?
My question was actually on the referent of the participle.
Yeah, no, you have to. It's. You know what this is called when you figure it out from the context, but it's a mistake? This is called the constructio ad sensum, which is Latin, I think, for construction according to sense.
Well, and there are varying readings that take the single.
Exactly. Yeah. So they're smoothing out the grammar, right? And so that's probably the reason why the editors chose this reading, right? Yep. Yeah, and it's like any other living language. I mean, Greek doesn't, it's hard enough to learn the rules of Greek, but then to realize that Greek doesn't always obey the rules seems just like, you know, the straw that broke the nomad's ankle or something like that, you know, so, right. That's another old guy expression, so. Good. Okay, well, let's see, it's 25 after, and we didn't get as far as I thought, but that's all right. We'll pick up at verse 7 next time. So, very good.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yep.